Welcome to the Chicago Gamepreneur Podcast. We'll talk to fellow entrepreneurs and share stories of success, failures, and epic failures in the quest to understand the business, art, and science of the indie revolution in the city of big shoulders.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Gamepreneur Show. I'm Kiwon Hong. I'm the one-man show of Iterative Games. An independent development firm working on my first title, Contract Work. I'm here with my co-host, Robert Lockhart.
Hi, I'm Rob Lockhart. I'm the creative director of Important Little Games. It's an educational game studio that does contract work, ironically, I guess, and or coincidentally, anyway. And I'm also working on our first original title, Codemancer.
So, Rob, why don't you introduce our guest for the week?
Our guest today is Daniel Burns. He is basically the pub trivia czar of Chicago. That's how I like to describe it. I noticed that he was conducting all of the pub trivia that me and my South Side of Chicago pals go to. Even though they were at different nights at different bars, it was always the same guy. So just recently after a tournament, sort of struck up a conversation and found out that he's in charge of this operation and that he's done a lot of design work, experimenting with different formats and of course making inroads with different bars and venues. So I think he'll be a really interesting guest for us.
Yeah, it's interesting. He actually started up here in my neighborhood, Wicker Park, and one of my good friends used to go to his trivia night every Thursday, I believe. So everyone seems to know this guy.
Yeah.
So without further ado.
Hi, Dan. So how did you get started doing pub trivia?
Well, I'm originally from Boston. I grew up in just outside Boston, and pub trivia has been huge in Boston for a long time. I went to BC, graduated a long time ago, 03.
And lived
in Boston for about five, it was 4 years after school with some friends from high school. We used to go to trivia all the time. We lived in South Boston. There was a bar right down the street. We used to go all the time, really liked it, and we'd go every week. And there's this older Irish guy that did it over there. He got to like us a lot, and he asked me to host it one day because he was kind of trying to expand his little operation. And so I started hosting it for him. I really enjoyed it. And I decided to move to Chicago just to switch it up. I'd grown up in Boston, gone to school in Boston, and I moved out here 6 years ago. So I'm actually about 6.5 years ago now. Just to kind of switch it up, I got into sound engineering, actually, originally. I wanted to kind of pursue that. Chicago's a good city for that. I knew a lot of people out here. So I just kind of picked up and moved to switch it. I was a teacher in Boston for those few years. I could always go back to that. I just wanted to switch things up, and I pitched the trivia idea at a few bars out here, and for some reason it wasn't a big thing in 2007 when I moved out. I don't know if you guys are from here, how long you've been here, but not many bars were doing pub trivia, but there is no shortage of bars in Chicago, as you all know. So
yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's insane, you know, compared to Boston. It's so much bigger, and there's so many more places, so it's a perfect city for it. And I pitched it at a couple of places, and they were like, yeah, why not? And I just walked into them and said, I'll do a couple of weeks for free. I love this in Boston. I noticed there's not a lot of pub trivia out here. It'll help bring business in. And people really like the format and the material. And within a month or two, I was kind of packing the places, the two places. And so awesome. The rest is history. I just kind of made some connections since then and expanded the biz from there. That's literally how I did it.
Yeah, it seems like a very natural thing for, like, as a promotion for bars, because you can run this pretty much, on a weekly basis? And it's kind of a draw for people to keep coming back in, right?
It's the perfect thing to do, get people to get in a habit of, you know, getting together with their friends once a week. And it's a perfect thing on a weeknight, as you guys know. You know, you come to Bull and Bear, it's like a Tuesday night. Our busiest nights for my company, we have a lot of Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's the most popular night because bars are looking for, you know, to drive business on those off nights. So it's the perfect thing for that, you know, for sure.
So what is your actual business model? The bars pay you?
Yep, the bars pay me, pay the company, and we kind of advertise. So You know, we at most places, I've changed the model a little while ago. We're kind of on a scale at most bars. Some of them do a flat rate every week, and it's kind of a range. It depends on the size of the bar. You know, there's a wide range of bars that we do it at. Some have, you know, these cheap specials, so they don't, their bottom line isn't as big, and but some are different. And it all depends on the neighborhood, the crowd. But, yeah, the bars pay us. We're on a scale at some points. We get bonuses for bigger nights if there are more teams, you know, that type of thing. But some bars do a flat rate, but they pay us every week. And I pay the hosts. And, yeah, it's a nice little biz.
So why do you feel that Chicago wasn't basically in the bar trivia scene when you got here? Was it kind of an East Coast thing, or was it just no one really had taken the effort to organize it like you were organizing it?
That's a good question. It was tough to say. There's a combination of a couple of things. It's definitely an East Coast thing. It became big in Boston maybe 15 years ago. And actually, Atlanta is one of the first cities to do it. It was a regional thing. There's a company called Team Trivia, which has been in biz for a long time. They're based out of Atlanta. And they're one of the few. There's only a couple national companies, and they're one of them. So it's been big in certain regions, and it did not hit Chicago for whatever reasons. But there are a couple of places that do it. A place called The Globe. They were already done. I think a guy's been doing it there for, you know, like 10 plus years. And there are a few places that I know of that have been doing it, but no like companies here. I think Team Trivia tried to come out here, but they didn't really get a foothold, you know? I don't know. I think I have a really good product and I put a lot of time into that. And that's all, you know, the thing about how I think why it kind of took off better because people like trivia, but there was no companies out here that really caught the interest of the people in Chicago to last long enough, I think.
Whatever. Yeah, I'll say that I've gone to a couple of your nights, and I really enjoyed the format, the way there's a good variety of things. So even if I'm not strong in one area, there's other areas that I can feel like I'm giving value to my team. You know, I'm helping.
That's the result, right? That's why it's fun. That's what I'm going for, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that just recently there's been a change in that, in your format. Like, what have been some of the major evolutions that it's gone through? Or is it different for every bar? Or
like just the format of the game?
Yeah.
It's evolved a little bit. It's been pretty much similar since the beginning. Only recently I've changed it a little bit. I think you might be referring to the fact, well, we do that point wagering system. It's like a confidence, you know, for the couple of the rounds.
That seems to be traditional for pub trivia.
It is, yeah. And there's a lot of versions of it, yes.
Just the basic concept of wagering.
Yeah, the wagering is kind of a standard. There's several companies. I mean, the different companies have different versions of it a little bit. But yeah, I've always had the point wagering and always had the picture bonus round, like a visual round, which people really like, and then like an ID round, which is a list. So they kind of complement each other. Some people are really visual and they're good with that, and others ID round, you know. So like the wagering, and then there's like a current events round, which I found that people like that most other formats don't, and companies don't do. And then we do like a final question, like a final Jeopardy thing. But yeah, evolved a little bit, just little tweaks to make it go move faster, you know, go along faster. Some of our really busy places, sometimes the nights can get really long. If it's like 20 plus teams, some people don't want to be there all night. And so I made some tweaks, you know, to it just to make it, you know, go along a little faster. I give all the questions first, and then everyone turns in all the answers for the first round at once. And so we used to, a lot of our places still do it. You know, we get a question, and then everyone runs up the answer, which has a nice pace to it, but it just takes longer. So some small tweaks to make things move faster. It's really the main idea.
So on that note, do you have any metrics that you keep? Like, how do you know, this is a big question in games, right? How do you know when something's fun? So do you have a rule of thumb that you use to say, okay, this is working or this isn't working?
It's a tough call. You know, sometimes, you need multiple opinions on that, right? I mean, there are nights where I think, and these are up and down nights like anything else. I mean, those, like I said, you know, 6.5 years, and, you know, a lot of nights you just feel like you're killing it up there. People are having a lot of fun. The whole bar's into it, which I think more often than not, I like to think that. And there are other nights, maybe the questions aren't as good. People aren't as into it and stuff. It is tough to say. You know, I kind of gauge just on the consistency, the willingness of the bars to pay and know that we're driving business, you know. We are maintaining a certain consistency of number of teams and regulars that come, and just I'm always asking feedback from regulars and new teams. You know, especially in the bar scene, usually it's just from vibe. You can kind of tell reactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a real part of it. That's all, and sometimes I feel like could be wrong, but it's really from just vibe from the bar. You can just tell like if people are into it. And a lot of the bar managers, managers on duty, I always talk to them during the nights and they kind of give good feedback. I'll come up like at Bull and Bear, for instance. I'll be like, yeah, literally every person in the back right now is playing in the back section. That's great, And sometimes if it's, people lose interest and stuff in different nights, but yeah, and I guess there's no, exact science to it, but it's more a vibe in the bars than anything. Just people cheering for answers and some nights are better than others, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on a couple important points in that one, you can see it, right? You have visual feedback, which sometimes as a digital guy, you don't have that visual feedback. I think that's really important.
Sure.
And the other thing is that you're talking with your customers. And you'd be surprised how many digital people, we just don't like sit down and talk with their customers. So I think that's super important that you're.
Exactly. There's an analogy to be made for like platforms. The way that like an iPhone game its platform is the iPhone itself, and you sell more copies the more iPhones there are. Well, in your case, the platform is a bar, and the bar is doing its own metrics of like how many. Jalapeno poppers they're selling or whatever.
sure. Oh, yeah. That's true. I mean, a lot of them are, they're specials. There's a lot of factors from the bar end. It's true.
So you're kind of piggybacking on their sort of tracking numbers.
Yep.
I had a question about technology. Obviously, this is a big thing. I mean, in any industry today, you have to understand, what's going on with it. I know you've got some unique challenges with people like using their phones during trivia, but how do you use technology? Is there anything that you've felt that's become easier because you now have the tech to do it?
Yes, absolutely. I guess there's two points there. You're saying there's an issue with people kind of like cheating or looking up answers technology?
Yeah. Especially for like the current event stuff and things like
absolutely.
That.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the fun. Yeah, that's always going to be a factor. And I guess, as technology improves, it only gets a little tougher. It's one of those
Google Glass, for example.
It's like originally, even a few years ago, it's like the picture round, I could always tell there would be red flags. I would see if I was suspicious of a team cheating, if they the first round is just the questions, if they did really well and then the picture round comes around and they do really poorly and then the second half comes around they do really well, like you can't really cheat on the picture round. At least a few years ago you couldn't really. But now you can't. Now there's like Google goggles. I don't even know what like that is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you can it's crazy. You can have an iPhone into the picture. But anyway, that's just that's always going to be an issue. It's going to be tougher. I mean, I just tell my hosts and I do it. And you probably remember from like Bull and Bear. I'll just say go over the rules really quickly. I don't make a huge deal of it, but say no outside sources. Police the room. Let me know if that's going on. Blah blah. I make a joke of it. I'm like there's nothing more lame than cheating at pub trivia. Just remember that. Blah blah. Try to shame people out of it and like. And honestly, all the regulars, I really think everyone's really cool. They're there to have fun. It's not fun if you're looking up the answers. You can tell, from reactions of teams if they're getting it right, but they're not reacting. I mean, you can just tell. So I've run into that. That's the only other thing, how to deal with the cheaters and stuff. That's always an issue. It's kind of I can encourage people to kind of police themselves, and it gets competitive. So there will be teams coming up. I'm pretty sure the team's, looking up answers, and then I'll keep an eye on them. And I'll check out how they're doing. And I'll confront them, not on the mic. I'm not confrontational. Some hosts like to do it. I don't like that, but I'll handle it a certain way. That's an exact thing. I'm just hoping, technology doesn't get to the point where it's just, so easy to just, get away with that. But for the bar trivia, on my side on technology, it's great that we have it on the screens. You guys know at Bull and Bear, it's up on the screens rotating, which is great, right? And you get the pictures in color. So I don't have to print out color photos and stuff. Just give black and whites to the team, but you can see them in color. And most bars have
that's
that.
That's really
now.
Helpful.
Oh, absolutely. And it's more interactive. People like it a lot. My style is I'll speak quickly usually, and you can probably tell now. And I'll just kind of mumble sometimes and stuff. But it doesn't matter if you can't understand me because it's up on the screen. That's all really good for bars. More and more bars have it on the screens now, and that's a definitely a good thing. And I'm kind of making it look slicker as I go along. So it's, I'm totally slave to Mac right now. I have three Mac laptops, two iPads that I've given to my hosts and stuff, but it's all great. Everything's on the iCloud, slowly tweaking that. As far as technology, I get the files and the stuff out to my hosts. They can just download the stuff, you know, I'll put it up on an iCloud, my iCloud, or I'll put it up on, you know, Google Docs or Google Drive. Mm-hmm. And then they have, you know, they'll download the PowerPoint or the keynote file and write from that, and they have their MacBooks and I write off that. So from that like standpoint, it's great for business. You know, especially with the screens and putting it up in the bars.
Awesome. Do you, how many other hosts do you have?
Right now, there are...
We should really plug... It. I mean, your company's named What Do You Know? Free Team Trivia, right?
Yep.
People, if you're in Chicago listening, look for a bar that has What Do You Know? Trivia.
Absolutely. Okay. It is the best. It is the best trivia in Chicago. I guarantee you. Yeah. No.
Absolutely.
It's
very nice.
No, I mean we've tried a lot. My team and I have tried a lot of places, and you're definitely the best. So, really, how many other hosts do you have? I'm sorry, that was a tangent.
No, I appreciate it. Yes, it's triviachicago.com, which is another good thing I did early on. So yeah, if anyone's checked that out, our locations are at triviachicago.com. Which does pop up towards the top for Google searches. That was one of the smarter things I did early on, getting that domain. But yeah, all our locations are on there, triviachicago.com. And right now, I think there's 17 or 18 regular hosts. A lot of them do it like once a week. It's really, and the beauty of the pub trivia thing, it's really a perfect part-time job. You know, most of these guys and girls, I got a few girls now finally. A lot of girls weren't interested in the first couple of years, but only in the last year or two, I had a lot more interested in hosting, which I think is great. And so I got a few more, but it's mostly guys that have been, you know, some of them have been doing it for 4 or 5 years. And they'll, you know, so about 17 or 18 regular ones, most do it once a week. I have a couple of guys that do 2-3 a week for me. They just like doing it and they could use the cash or whatever a few nights a week. It's like a perfect thing for them. And then I have a, you know, handful of others, maybe 9 or 10 that were regulars for a while. Now they have conflicts and they're doing things. So they fill in once in a while. So I actually have a, you know, a good amount of contacts that can, you know, go out and host any night. There's all obviously people, like any other job, people can't make it some night. I'll get fill-ins. But yeah, 17 or 18 regulars right now and a few more that are kind of on the payroll as fill-ins once in a while.
Nice. Do you ever do venues other than bars?
Oh, yeah. We do another nice thing about the trivia. It's a perfect activity for a wide variety of functions. We do a lot of private functions, especially come the holidays. We'll do corporate fun. You know, it's a fun, as you all know, you know, it's like a perfect like social thing. It's a great icebreaker, you know, for big companies. We've done huge, huge functions for some big, you know, just all kinds of corporate functions, just holiday parties. You know, everyone gets, we can theme. I've been doing this for 6 years, you know, so have a wide range of material. So I can theme it to something, you know, what something about the company that we do it at. Mm-hmm. We also do fundraisers. Another great thing. Last night I did at my regular gig is Bad Dog Tavern in Lincoln Square every Thursday. I've been there about 5 years. We always get a huge crowd there, and I did like a raffle for this nonprofit. You know, worked that into trivia. It just works well. So we sold raffle tickets at a 50-50, and teams got bonus points if they bought raffle tickets. And I plugged the nonprofit, so we can do stuff like that at our regular nights, or we can do a private fundraisers. It's a perfect thing for that. You can charge by table. You know, advertise, say it's a great cause for this, you know, X organization. Get a team together. It's like $100 a table or $50 for a team, whatever. It all goes to a good, you know, and then put up a couple of prizes. So, you know, we do corporate events for, you know, for our profit and stuff, and we'll donate material and time for fundraisers and you know, birthday parties. I've done a bachelor party, just about trivia about the bachelor. It's hilarious. Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. And for my own friends, I've you know, they all know I do it. My friends in Boston, especially, that I know that what I'm doing out here, So for like literally three of my friends' bachelor parties, childhood friends, I've done trivia about them. You know, I've gotten all past it, which is great. You know, it's a perfect way to kind of a roast type thing, and do the, you know, do a picture round of pictures we've had of them all. You know, so it's just great. It's just such a versatile thing, wide variety of private functions that you can work trivia into. So yeah, we do all kinds of private stuff. A lot of during the holidays, mostly, you know, for businesses and corporate events.
You know, it's a surprisingly good team-building exercise because oftentimes I find you learn a lot about your teammates when you're playing it.
Oh, so true,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I had no idea that you knew all that stuff.
Like, why the hell do you know that? Like, so you can make – right, yeah. You have a guy, a friend that knows a little bit too much about, you know, Sex and the City or something. Or like,
exactly.
You know, and you're like, you can just bust his chops about it for the rest of, you know. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So have you ever thought about taking this like really like wide scale, doing maybe a franchise model or doing like an app that would, you know, like I download it and I pay you, you know, like $5.99 a week to get the latest questions or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've given it plenty of thought. It's funny, you know, it's a long learning curve for me. I like I said, I was in Boston Public Schools for a couple of years in education. Before I moved out here, I have no business background in terms of like formal training and stuff. It was more of just something I kind of started out here, and I'd seen it work, and I believed in it, and so. But all the like the ins and outs of like, you know, the franchising and this and that, I've looked into it. I'm slowly tweaking it. That's the long answer. I mean, I do have aspirations to do it. I think I have a really good product. I do believe it's good to kind of expand slowly, which I've definitely done, and it's still going well. But I think franchising might be a good way to do it. I know Team Trivia, the company I mentioned, there's a company called Geeks Who Drink, who's now in here as well, providing more competition here. But they have like a franchise model. And I have given that a lot of thought, as well as the app. It's more of trying to find someone to partner up for a good app that kind of makes sense. And there are a lot of trivia apps. It's kind of tough to come up with a good, like, what works the best, you know, that would complement the live game, because I always want to promote the live game as much as I can. So getting bonus, I've definitely given it a lot of thought, just haven't quite got around to perfecting like a model for an app that would, you know, not only be fun just to play anytime, but also promote, you know, all right, well, you got, you know, you did well here, you can get a bonus point if you come to X bar, because at the end of the day, the bars pay us. I'd love to expand it that way, and it would just be, you know, if the app went viral,
like a
somehow
supplement.
Yeah, that would be a great supplement to start, but that would just be a bonus if it happened to. But yeah, I'd like to, you know, I'd be more of, because I know there's like Quiz Up. I don't know if you guys know that one. That's a pretty, there's a bunch of just random.
Yeah, I think I've seen Quiz Up before.
Quiz Up, yeah, it's fun. You know, it's great. They have all kinds of categories, and they're always expanding. It's only, you know, I think it's like worldwide. But
it's
they just want, you
know, how popular. There are several apps that are like logo identification.
Yeah.
I have no idea why, but those are super popular.
Yeah, that's a visual, like the picture rounds. I mean, at the live trivia, yeah. I always ask, you know, I think teams like the picture rounds the most. Overall, I mean, some, I don't know. But I think people like the visual to mix it up a little bit.
Exactly.
The apps.
It seems like it taps a different part of your brain, for sure. It's just like the visual identification pathway versus like a name the year, for example, which is like trying to pull from all over your knowledge.
So true. No, as Rob was saying, I mean, it's like it's fun. Like, you learn a lot about your teammates, and the best is to have a group, you know, that's wide range like that. And it's so true. There's, I mean, it's a different type of thinking. Some people are very visual. You know, everyone probably has a friend that just like, for whatever reason, you're like, oh, they know like every movie they've ever seen. They just remember the titles, or they just love movies. They're good to have at pub trivia because I have a lot of pop culture movie stuff. But then there are some people that just remember dates really well, you know? Dates is something, it's the way people's brains work. Like, I actually, you know, I'm not good with dates at all. Like, the name of the year, like, I look them up and read them. It's easy when you're up there. But, you know, if I was at a trivia night, like, I forget dates pretty, you know, it's like 80s, 90s dates, you know, events. Like, people just, so there are certain people that just know that, you know? And geography is another good, like, example. Some people just know what states border other states. Some people cannot picture them for the, you know, it's just kind of, so you need, like, that wide range of people on your team to do well. Yeah.
Have you thought about expanding to more interactive elements? So maybe like playing like a 15-second sound clip from a movie, or, you know, showing like 10 seconds of footage from like Topeka, Kansas, and then having people guess off the video.
I definitely, for the, as far as, yeah, like an audio round, I've given that a lot of thought. I know a couple of companies that do that. The main reason I haven't is just, you know, having, now this has been my livelihood for a while, so I'm slowly trying to expand it and really brand the format that I think is, like, you know, proven and people like. It's tough because some bars can do the audio. It's easy to set them up in. Some bars can't.
And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just more work. Yeah, essentially, it's just more, I mean, you know, I try to put a ton of time into the material and try to, you know, keep the questions up and fresh and good. The audio is just, it's more of, yeah, the capacity to do that. I like keeping the exact brand, you know, the What Do You Know brand exactly the same at all this place. So that's the only, but the audio round, I think, is a lot of fun. I think it's kind of hit or miss depending on night to night, and it's tough to keep that fresh. I mean, you can always do songs, you know, song clips or movie clips. I've considered that, but just the week, and we do those at like some of the private events that I was mentioning. If they have a request for that, it can easily do that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that works, you know, but for the, like the weekly nights that I just, you know, as it grows, there's more and more bars to deal with and more hosts. I keep it easy on myself and don't deal with audio files, you know. It's more just,
yeah, I mean, I know. So they stopped a couple of years ago, but the University of Chicago used to have a trivia night, which was brutally hard. They had an audio clue at least one every night, and their audio setup was dismal. So it would always be like, we can't hear this. Like, right. What's going on?
Oh man, yeah, that's rough. Yeah, yeah. No, that's just a disaster. If that, I mean, yeah, that's another risk on the audio round. You deal with a wide range of bars. Some of them have great systems. You can hear the host perfectly. You know, like Bull and Bear is like state of the art. You can tell it's a new bar. But we do some like divey type spots that have been around a while, and there are limitations on what you can do. You know, especially if it's noisy in there with teams that people not playing. Sometimes it can be rough for the host, but.
Well, whenever you get the franchise model going, you can do, what do you know, premium, and that'll have all the video audio stuff, and you charge an extra $10 for that.
Not bad. I like that. Well, yeah, you can franchise it out. Yeah, you can have a couple of options. Get the standard what do you know, or yeah, the premium. It costs you a little bit more, but we have more options, audio options.
Interesting. Like where do you source your questions?
Wide range of stuff. I have. I really grind out the questions. I enjoy doing it still. It's something... It's just a fun kind of biz, you know, in the sense like, it's funny to tell people this when they ask about pub trivia. It's like I Google stuff for a living, you know. I mean, I'm staring at this computer, you know, 12 hours at some point, you know. There's probably 50 or 60. I mean, I guess the short answer is there's probably 50 or 60 websites I go to a lot that I think are just good for trivia. And I'll piece together questions, you know, as you guys know, like as Rob knows, like the, you know, the style of the question is involved, you know. I think people like my trivia and the style of the question because they're, you know, it's never going to be like, what's the capital of Norway, you know, and you have one full song to come up with the answer. Like, that's, I mean, you either know that or you don't. It's not really fun. You can't really work it out. But instead, it's going to be like, you know, what two actors, you know, starred in movies in X year. They were each named right. People Magazine, Sexy Man, blah, blah. So you have like four or five clues and you talk it out. That's what people like. You get everyone involved. As Rob was saying, you know, you get everyone contributing, which is the fun part about it. And so what I'll do is I have like 50 or 60 websites, and I'll just take little things from each and try to piece together a long question. So I won't go to like – that's why you can't just go to like a – you know, some people are like, oh, dude, that's like the easiest job ever. You just go to like these websites, trivia questions, just like, you know, you fire off – you know, it's way more than that. You just kind of try to make – so I have like, you know, a bunch of websites I'll go to a lot for my style and just kind of piece it together and then grind it out, you know.
That's really fascinating that it's like designed for interaction. Which
absolutely,
it's so perfect because like a Jeopardy question would just not work. Our team has at times been like at a lack for a place to go for trivia. Either it was too crowded or something, and we just try and do it ad hoc with the Jeopardy database, and it just is terrible.
It doesn't work, right? It's funny, yeah. I think a lot of other companies, you know, don't realize that, or they don't have the resources to put a lot of time into the But no, it's the style of the question that has a lot to do with it. And we have – it's fun. Like, I have Jeopardy – you know, former Jeopardy champions, multiple that I've met that come regularly to my trivia nights and stuff. And they're – you know, their teams don't necessarily win, like all of – yeah, they're, like, the tournament of champions guy from last year is this guy Colby, who's from the Burbs of Chicago. And he's been a regular at What Do You Know for a long time, which is cool. And it's like his team doesn't necessarily win all the time. I mean, pub trivia is way more pop culture than, say, a Jeopardy – you know, Jeopardy round, obviously, but we have a good mix, as you well know. You know, a lot of geography, science. We mix in a lot of non-pop culture. It's a fun, but it's pub trivia, so a lot of pop culture. But that, not only that, I mean, the style of question is different. It's designed, you know, you're hitting on it. I mean, yeah, if you put Jeopardy questions up there, and even not just because of the material or the categories, it's just not the style of question that kind of, you know, calls for interaction, or it's just it's a different style. I mean, there's a lot. You know, I joke about it with people that ask, but it's an art form in some sense. So maybe I'm just like, I like to think that. But, you know, you want to give just enough that it's challenging, but you don't want to give any clue that just gives it away. And that's just so easy to do. And sometimes you kind of, but yeah, you want to get the right amount of difficulty and call for the interaction, like you're saying. I mean, that's the biggest key to making it fun at the bars, you know.
Right. So I've got one more question maybe before we go to the challenge. A lot of us like you, we don't have a ton of business experience coming into starting our companies. Right. Is there one piece of advice that you would give to someone who's basically without the training and coming in and trying to do their own thing?
Tough is one piece. That's, yeah, tough to say. I mean, from what the nature of what I'm doing, you definitely have to, I mean, this sounds cheesy and cliche, but you definitely have to kind of believe like what you're like, you know, you go, when you try to, you know, first start up, you know, kind of believe in what you're doing. Think this is definitely, there's definitely a market out there for it. And there, you know, in my case, I'd seen it work, you know, and from in Boston, I used to go every week. I loved it. I mean, I got, you know, I'd seen it work. And so I came out here just knowing it would work. I mean, so I guess the main thing, I think I have a different, And like you hit on it earlier, I mean, a big, you know, very important point is that like my, this business, like the pub trivia, is a lot to do with the interaction with people. And my feedback is literally personal. I tell my hosts to get feedback from their regulars. You know, I have a whole other thing. They'll report back on like what worked, what questions worked, what didn't, what people thought. And so for me, like I've always had kind of an easy time just like talking to strangers. I don't like, you know, I'll go in. I went into these bars like without, you know, just like cold turkey and pitch trivia, you know, and like I knew it would work. I'd be like, hey, I'm from Boston. Nice to meet you. Like you got a great bar for this. You know, and I was just really comfortable doing it because I kind of knew it would work. So just sitting there like, yeah, why not? And I was like, I'll do it 2 weeks for free. We'll promote it a little bit. See what it, if you like it, you think it's got potential, and totally worked. It's just, I guess it's just the nature of the, it's kind of differs, I guess, in what you're doing. You just got to kind of, you know, believe it'll work and just be prepared on what, like be very focused on exactly what you're pitching. You know, I had seen it work. It was easy for me. Like I knew exactly it was going to be the bar trivia thing. I was going to ask these questions and I explained it. I was walked in and explained it to these managers and they're like, all right, we'll give you a shot. You know?
Nice.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. Like one, understanding your model. So you saw it in Boston, you knew it was going to work. And two, just getting lots of feedback. I think everyone can get better at requesting feedback. So that's great.
So true, yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, why don't we kick it off into the question section? I know we've prepped a couple for you. Rob, you want to spin the wheel and pick one?
Okay. Big wheel sound. Okay, so you've just been made the e-gaming czar of Chicago. How do you boost viewership? So e-gaming as in, like, League of Legends or StarCraft, these, like, sport-style games that are digital.
Like the sports, right. So how do you market it? Is this essentially what you're asking? Like,
how would you boost viewership?
I guess you mean, like, so kind of on, like, just a limited budget of sorts, you mean? So, like, if you didn't have...
Yeah, say we want to put... I've got this broadcast of the championship of StarCraft, and I want to get 6 bars to show it.
Gotcha. You know what? I mean, it's funny. Like, for me, I think I'm a unique situation. I literally would go... You'd scout out the right bars, for instance, first.
Okay.
You know, that's absolutely number one. And, you know, Chicago's a perfect example. You know, there's a million bars. They're a wide range. You know, you have to know exactly your market. You know, so you want to go to the right spot. You know, so if it's a sports bar, if it's a, you know, not really a sports bar, but it has, you know, if it has a menu, if you want it, you want the, you know, the people there for 2 hours, if you want them just there for an hour, it should be able to serve decent food, should be in a good location. All the little factors about trivia, you know, that we draw in, it's like location near a CTA stop, all these little like intangible or, well, more tangible things, I guess. Scout out the bars that you want, that you're targeting. Know their general, the age range of the participants, that your target market for these games, you know, and scout those out. So you got your 6. Be good to get 1 in each neighborhood. Chicago's a good city for that. Get 1 in Wicker Park, you know, 1 in Lincoln Park, so they don't overlap. You're getting a wide range, but pick the perfect bar in each. You know, pick the perfect bar in each in terms of like their crowd, their regulars, the general age range of the people that come in. Pick the right ones. That's a huge, huge part of it. And then after you do that, I mean,
does that mean that you've been to like every bar in Chicago?
I feel, you know what's so funny? I feel like I have all the time, but that's not the Chicago is so insane to me. Like, especially being from Boston, you realize how much bigger Chicago is. Not only is it bigger just in scope, but just bars per, in terms of bar scene, bars per neighborhood per capita, it's way more than Boston. So
yeah, bars per capita in Chicago is insane. Like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like we must be like top 2 in the world.
I've heard, you know, those are one of those trivia facts. Those are little things. It's funny. You can never fully, but I've heard those, you know, people throw that around. It's like, oh, it's the most in the country, top 3rd in the country per capita. And it's also a huge city. I've been to a lot and I feel like most, but you know what? I don't really know because literally every week, I've been here 6 years, every week someone mentions, oh, have you been to this bar? Do you do trivia this bar? And I've never heard of it. it's endless. But yeah, you know, so that's why Chicago's great for it. But you want to pick the perfect ones, and you have so many options, which is cool. So for, you know, whatever is a specific game, and then you pick the perfect bar for it in each, you know, different neighborhoods. Let's say 6 different neighborhoods. You got Andersonville, Lincoln Square, Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Wicker Park, you know, and the Loop. And then I built this just by going into the bar. You know, it's like you can email a lot and this and that, but dealing with bar managers and stuff, that can be pulling, like, can be like pulling teeth sometimes because they're busy and it's tough to really communicate. you know, I think the interaction is good. I mean, I just went, you know, walked in and said, you know, I got this interesting idea. You gotta get them on the hook a little bit. My hook was, I'll do a, you know, 2 weeks free, you know, like something like that. You kind of get, you know, they're gonna ask you, like for bars, you know, they're gonna ask you, like, all right, are you gonna guarantee a crowd? Are you gonna promote? What are your promotional outlets? And like when I try to expand now, I'll say, like, check out our Facebook page. We do that bonus point every week, and blah blah blah, you know, and that really helps. But I personally would go in person, you know, personally and ask for the manager usually early, you know, late afternoon, 5 or 6 before they get, you know, any kind of busy dinner crowd. And if you know, you miss them, just say, well, just get a contact and follow up later. You can always email, but sometimes bar managers, you know, if they're just getting, they get a lot of different pitches. I would just go in and say, like, you know, with something visual, say, we, you know, they have a great product here. We, you know, we have, just kind of, you know exactly how you want to pitch it. This is the vision for it, and just try to get a few minutes of their time and, you know, say, let's give it a shot on this date.
That's so, awesome. Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah, that's exactly how I did it. So,
do you have time for one more?
Sure.
You've been in the trivia for a while. It's obviously a great model. If you could come up with another bar game besides trivia, and there are no wrong answers here. I'm just interested because you have a lot of experience with the scene, obviously. If you come up with a completely different game, what would it be?
Oh, tough question. To kind of avoid your question slightly, briefly, I'll say I've dabbled with the idea of like trivia bingo, which is interesting. A lot of bars that we've blown trivia up at, like they're like, oh, do you do anything? Do you karaoke? And I try to avoid the karaoke thing. I don't think I'd be awkward trying to host that. I don't want to do that. You know, I was impressed with people that can do it, you know, but it's like keep it fresh. But yeah, like trivia, like they'll want, oh, let's do bingo on Mondays. Trivia's awesome. Can you, and you know, try to feedback our market. So like a trivia bingo thing and kind of get, you know, a combination of the two. And that's a whole other idea I have, which I think would work. As far as like a new game, you know, it's, I like it. I mean, you know, talking about like, you know, the football, the fantasy, or, you know, fantasy games or whatever, like interactive on the screens between bars. Consider that for, you know, as well. I mean, that takes a little bit of, you know, getting more involved with the technology. Everything I've always thought about has been like kind of, you know, related to trivia, I suppose.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, you know, extensions off trivia are fantastic. So,
and it's versatile too. I mean, you can have, you know, like video game competitions through. And it's a competition of some type. You know, I guess people like competition. You know, so whether it's trivia or whether it's, you know, any type of video game, like, you know, fantasy games, sports games, you know, both like.
Yeah, I think that trivia, you know, has this really nice sweet spot of like being locally cooperative with your friends, right, and then like globally competitive.
It's exactly right. It is, and it's just got a widespread appeal. You know, everyone likes, no matter what your interests are, like you're saying, you know, yeah, if you get a wide range of material.
So those would be things that we would maybe try and look for in a different game that for bars.
Right. Yeah, no, it's interesting. You guys are like the entrepreneur thing. Like, I'm just kind of learning more about what you guys are doing. I think it's awesome too. I mean, there's definitely the potential for that. You'd be more in an interactive, like bar to bar thing. And like you're saying, technology is here for that. You know, in terms of that, like I tell you how I'd like, you know, market it. It would just be, you know, I don't know. In terms of like a new game, I think people like the team thing. It's good for business too. I mean, it sounds, you know, you want to make this a business. It just, instead of like individual, a lot of video gaming is, you know, individual and stuff like that. It's a little tougher to get, I think, fill up bars with individual players. Mm-hmm. If you know, the one thing, like the team trivia, that's another thing. The business model is just great because it encourages you just, you know, people bringing their friends. Oh, this is a lot of fun. We'll bring more people next time. Mm. It's interactive, and the bar scene is, you know, the bar scene in general. It's all about being social. You know, the bars, that's what managers want. They want not just people coming in, but people interacting, buying each other drink. You know. But that's what, you know, having fun at the bar. So in that sense, everything, you know, it's such an interactive thing. So when you're getting crossing to the bar scene, like pub trivia, you know, the game has to be interactive. It has to be interactive with other people in some sense, you know, people talking trash to each other and all that stuff. Or, you know, the team thing. That's, I feel like that's just like a key to the bar scene and what managers would like.
I could see something, you know, like to, like a Risk type thing where within teams there had to be some mechanic for like you earning more troops, like the performance of the team is tied to like earning troops, which you could then go out and capture territory and like compete against the other teams within the bar.
Yeah, no, I that's true. I mean, and if you wanted for the bar scene, that's, you know, spawned an idea, like you could even do it if you had like a, you know, the capacity to make a program like that, let's say, yeah, like Risk, and develop a whole electronic thing. You could put it up on the screens and interactive between bars. You could even like the, just from my bar experience, the bars would pay you to bring in the people to do it. If you encourage, like, yeah, you can earn more troops. Let's say it's a Risk game. You can earn more troops if you buy, you know, you buy a shot or something, or something like that. You can't do it like all night.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's a great one.
But like, you know, and you could do it if, as long as your program would do it. You'd have a manager or your host. If you're gonna have an interactive host at each one. Like the trivia, you know, you need the host at each place. I mean, what you guys are doing with the digital stuff, interactive games, what you're going for. In theory, you wouldn't need a rep there, but you'd need someone, maybe the manager there, like that team just bought a shot, or they bought it, whatever, or they got the app, or they brought in, like, you know, the bonus point, and which, you know, keeps people going to your Facebook. They'll get get extra troops or whatever. But you know, like in a game of Risk, that's a, you know, that would be a good example. The bars are always looking for, you know, when you want a game at a bar, they're looking for that. You know, they want teams buying the extra drink, the extra shot. They don't want, you know, the biggest complaint I get at team trivia with, they're like, yeah, you're bringing in a lot of people, but that team, you know, over there, they're here every week for 2.5 hours and they all drink water. You know, one guy drinks a beer and stuff. I'm like, yeah, they're fine. That's just them being businesslike. I mean, giving, you know, I mean, they appreciate the people there, and it's something that wouldn't be there. But the bars are always looking for a way to get the people, you know, get people just, like I said, you know, drinking more, having fun. So if you work that in, to that angle, and you could be able to do that, that would be key, I think. And people have fun with that.
One last question. Why do you love Air Bud so much?
Great question. Air Bud, oh man. And that's a valid question. The Air Bud's like the perfect, you know, do a lot of movie trivia, and like Air Bud, you know, it's just funny. The subtitles, I love doing trivia about subtitles of movies that are just kind of funny franchise. You know, the Leprechaun franchise, like Leprechaun in the Hood, Air Bud, Golden Receiver. It's fun to announce an answer, so, and the answer is Air Bud Golden Receiver. You need the full title.
Boom. And then you like, hear the whole bar say, oh!
It's so, you know, just cheesy. But yeah, you have a picture. You know, it's a picture round thing. Perfect. It's just a fun getting a bar like to kind of boo you slash whatever. Just have fun with it. Picture of a dog catching a football, and you need the full title of the movie. And the Air Bud is, you know, the answer is Air Bud Golden. It just makes for, you know, I think, and I also think it's a genius franchise. I think it's a fantastic game. So for both those reasons.
All right. So why don't we get your pitch one more time for everyone who wants to go out and have a great time playing bar trivia?
Sure. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's What Do You Know? Free team trivia, free pub trivia. What Do You Know? That's two D's. It's kind of a pain to spell sometimes, but WHADDAYAKNOW. It's on Facebook. And TriviaChicago.com, that's the easiest way to check us out. So TriviaChicago.com, exactly one word, lowercase. Got all our locations on there, all over the Chicagoland area. Hopefully expanding more soon. So come check us out any night of the week. TriviaChicago.com.
Very cool. We'll see you at the Bull and the Bear.
Awesome. We'll see you soon. Excellent. See you there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. So that was a great interview. We definitely took a little longer on that one, but super interesting.
Yeah.
So why don't we just go into our one piece of advice for the week?
Okay. My piece of advice for the week is to not assume that you know what you're doing.
I think that's a great one, actually. That totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. Been talking to some new clients, and just sort of, you know, I've begun to have a sort of process for talking to them about their needs and about the project and that they are contemplating, and it was tempting for me recently to sort of just try and treat it as like boilerplate for the first time. Think like, you know, I've got this basically, and it turns out I don't got this because you know, the projects that these new folks are coming to me with are very, very different, and I have a scope of project document that's sort of the first step in hiring Important Little Games to collaborate on an educational game. And that scope of project document format had been pretty stable for a little while, but now it's but for these latest projects, it's totally different. And it was borderline rude, I would say, because I was trying to get these new situations to fit my old model. Mm-hmm. And so once I sort of stepped back and checked myself, I succeeded in avoiding wrecking myself. So
always a plus. Yeah, my one piece of advice for this week, I'm actually writing a blog post on this, but just giving yourself whether you're the owner of a business or a creative, just giving yourself time to recover and kind of back off from whatever project you're in every now and then. Mm. I'll go I'll be more specific in the blog post, but I think a lot of people we're really into this culture of like you got to keep working all the time. So and as a self kind of independent entity, I think you drive yourself really really hard. Mm. Just by the nature of what you're trying to do, and as it turns out, that's actually counterproductive. Time to learn from what you've been doing, you're actually going to end up being less productive than you would be if you actually gave yourself a good cadence. So that would be my advice. Just, you know, get outside, go eat at a new restaurant, watch a new movie. Give yourself time to do that in between all the work that you're doing.
Yeah, agreed. Good advice.
All right, so why don't we go into the what we're. My what we're for this week is I've been actually watching the old Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx movie, Collateral.
Huh.
I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
I haven't.
It's interesting because – so the reason I'm watching it is that in the movie, Tom Cruise plays this assassin for hire. Mm-hmm. And when I went through – Tom Cruise is one of those actors that when he takes a role, he really kind of like researches the role for like a year or, you know, 9 months before he does it. Uh-huh. So he went and he trained with this SAS advisor for 6 months before he did the film.
What's SAS? Then,
Special Air Service. It's the British equivalent of the SEALs, okay. I believe. So anyway, he goes into this hardcore training program. And then when you watch him in the movie, I mean, he reacts like you would expect an assassin to react. He looks like an assassin, right?
Uh-huh.
So the reason I did that was I wanted to update my character and contract work to look a little more assassin-y. When I built him originally, he was kind of rigid. So what I went through is I actually went and frame by framed a couple of the scenes in Collateral, and I matched the position of his legs and his arms to what Tom Cruise was doing in the shots.
Interesting.
So I think it turned out really well. But yeah, that was my what we're for the week.
That's really awesome. Well, mine is for research. This is a little embarrassing, but I've been reading The Dork Diaries. I'm on book 4.
All right, I'm not familiar. You'll have to.
The Dork Diaries is a series of illustrated novels for tween girls.
All right, continue.
It centers around the main character, Nikki Maxwell, who's just moved to a new and joined a new school, which is has kind of a upper class vibe to it, which she doesn't really fit into necessarily, and it's just her trials and tribulations with her crush, and there's a mean girl at school, and yeah, so it's really...
Any particular reason you're reading, or did it just kind of fit what you needed? You needed your teen girl fix.
Well, yes, that absolutely, but also it's really given me sort of a window into the life of a tween girl, which is my target audience for Codemancer.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, it was kind of a bottom up hit this series of books. It was written by a woman who was a school teacher and was kind of late in her career as a teacher, and just wrote these books based on her her kids' experiences and kids at the time, and which her kids were already a bit older by the time the books came out, but the kids who read her books really resonated with them, so so they took off, and it's interesting to see like what is entertaining, like, and not just what's entertaining, but sort of you can kind of see like what's developmentally appropriate messages that those kids need to hear. And they're like instinctively attaching themselves to things.
Anything
like,
you like specifically were able to like take away and put into the game?
I'm not sure what I'm going to pull into the game, but there's definitely some patterns. Like the fact that you can recover from a bad decision is a theme from the books. Like, you know, if you make a bad decision, it's not the end of the world. You can come back from that. And that's a great lesson for somebody who is on the sort of cusp of independence, or like somewhat independent. Yeah, it's been pretty fascinating, and I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to get to the end of the series.
Very cool.
Hopefully before she writes another book.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks again for listening. Again, I'm Kiwon Hong. You can find blog up at iterativegames.com.
Yeah, I'm Rob Lockhart from Important Little Games, which you can find at importantlittlegames.com.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks again.
Thanks for tuning in the Chicago Gamepreneur Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show and hope you'll be back again to share more stories from Sweet Home Chicago.